Acts chapter 2.
I began last week talking about the requirements, the daily requirements of a healthy church. And I talked about the fact that the body has a need of different nutrients, of different vitamins. And they tell you on these bottles, like I have in my hand, about the different requirements. It talks about supplemental facts and the daily requirements. I mentioned last week that our body physically needs carbs, protein, fat, water, vitamins, minerals, calcium, sodium, and potassium, just to name a few things. And those things are needed. They're necessary. If you want to have a healthy body, there's some things you have to do. That means if we don't do those things, regularly, I use the word daily because that's the way it is. Daily requirements, regular requirements, things that are necessary. If we don't do those things, it'll show up in us physically. If we want a healthy body, we got to do some things. Unfortunately, I guess I'm just waiting for my glorified one, I reckon. Maybe I've given up on this one. But if we want a healthy church, there's some things we're going to have to do. My desire, my burden, always since I've been saved, is to be a part of a church that's thriving, alive. I use the word excited, and I'm not ashamed to use that. As long as it's the right kind of excitement, I believe it's a good thing. A church where God can move, a church where God's at home, a church where God's listened to, a church where lost people are saved. We find that in the early church. Let's go back and look beginning in verse 42. The early church, this is when God birthed the New Testament church in these verses, I believe. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And I should like the next verse, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Verse 3 is where my heart said, to begin with, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I sure like those verses, like those words, like the last words that are read about that the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. That is my desire. I believe it's the Lord's desire for the local church. And I looked last week about the fact that there's a daily requirement for us physically, but there's also a daily requirement for us spiritually. If we want a healthy church, there's some things we got to do. And I mentioned first that there's a requirement of purity. I want to start there because I think that's where the Lord starts. I have prayed earnestly that the Lord would help me in delivering these messages. I have prayed all the time. I have prayed many hours, no doubt, through the years for this church. That when we come in, God would be here and we would sense His presence and He would be pleased to move and to touch us and to help us and save lost people. That is my desire. I believe it's His desire. But I am convinced with all my heart, if we are to get there, if we are to be there and stay there, it starts with purity. Our lives, I said last week, that our God is a holy God. And He does not, cannot, will not, never will bless unholy living. He is a pure and holy God. And that's why we need the daily ingesting of our lives, a pure life. I mentioned last week that a pure church involves Christians. Now, everybody's invited to a church, But those who are a part of the church, those who are members of the church, are Christians. This morning, if you're not saved, my prayer, my desire, my burden is that you accept Christ. Not only is a pure church one that involves Christians, but it involves character. It is a person who wants to do right all the time. Now we won't, but we want to. Character means it is what I am. Not just what I do, but what I am. And a godly, pure church is a church that has people who have character. I mentioned also that a pure church is a church that involves conduct, not only Christians and character and conduct. All through these verses, we find these people not just talking about doing right, but they were doing it. They lived the life. Could I move on this morning and say that a pure church involves convictions? Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly. I am convinced that we're living in a day when the old-fashioned standards, by the way, that means Bible standards. That means godly convictions. I'm afraid. I am seeing it going by the wayside, disappearing very quickly. And it seems like many churches don't even miss them. This thing of old-fashioned convictions. In other words, hey, what we will be willing to do more than that, how we act and how we appear, that's not legalism. That's spirituality. You see, people can't see our heart. All the time you hear people say, yeah, but God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside, and yeah, He does. But He also looks on the outside. For what's on the outside is a revelation of what's on the inside. But even if God didn't care about the outside, hey, people can't see our heart. We say God looks at the heart, and He does. But people can't see your heart. People see us. How we dress, how we appear, how we handle ourselves, that ought to be important. It ought to really matter what people think about us. We ought to have old-fashioned Bible godly convictions. Now, there are the scriptural convictions, which means when the Bible says, this is what I'm to do, and this is how I am to appear, and this is how I am to dress, we should go by what the Bible says. Old-fashioned convictions are Bible convictions, and our convictions should come from the Scripture. There are general convictions, which means I believe what God said, and I'm going to do what God said as far as how I appear to this world. There's those godly convictions, those scriptural convictions, and they apply to everybody. But then there's also those spirit convictions. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you there's some things I don't want you to do. Everybody else in the church may be able to do it and it not bother them a bit. Everybody else in your family may be able to do that, that God has put His finger on in your life, and they don't feel bad about it at all. But if God tells you it's wrong for you, guess what? It's wrong for you. And He's very serious about His convictions. When He says it, He means it. I tell you one thing, I don't understand all this except for this. God wants us willing to do what He says, whether we understand it or not. And the convictions of God's people in His house really do matter. When God says, this is how I want you to dress, this is how I want you to act, He means business. Now, as far as the visitors, let them come. if they come in with short shorts, I'll look away as I smile and shake their hand and welcome them here. If they come in pierced, if they come in weird, if they come in with long hair, they come in smelly and dirty, I'm glad they're here. I'm not talking about that at all. Don't you look at them. Don't you down them. Don't you degrade them. Be glad they're here, and let's pray that God will save them. But as far as members or active visitors, some of you have not joined yet, so you're involved if you come here often. We ought to realize that God wants the church. Hey, if we want God's blessings, we must do it God's way. We must have a daily requirement of godly convictions that we dress right, act right, look right, smell right. I say this, I really wanted to say this till later. But that's one of the reasons why I appreciate you dressing right when you come to church. I believe that's right. I believe we ought to honor the house of God and the property of God. I believe He deserves our best in our appearance. That means ladies with dresses that are modest, that are not too short or too low. You understand that? But that means also us men who dress with the best we got and take a shower every Saturday night where we don't stink or look bad and wash our hair every once in a while. I'm talking about our appearance matters. You know why? Because it matters to God. And there's a world out there who sees us, but when we come to God's house, we ought to come with our best. We ought to do the best we can. Godly convictions, it's a must. If you want a healthy body, there's some things you got to do daily. You got to take it in. You got to accept the word of what that bottle says and believe it and accept it and apply it to your life. And if we want a godly church, it must be a church of godly convictions. There's a tendency. And this is one thing, you may wonder, why in the world do you stress dresses? Why do you even expect us to do with our church activities wear dresses and dress properly? Why in the world do you expect that, preacher? I'll tell you what, it is because of this. I am seeing a trend of churches doing this, going downhill. And I promise you, if we ever drop our convictions, you better listen to me. With those convictions will be our downfall. Listen to me. I have never seen a church that lowered their convictions and their standards that didn't also start watering down the word. And we better realize it'll happen here. I believe the appearance of Christians physically is like the King James Version, spiritually. Listen to me. Once a church gives up the King James only version and says other versions are okay, they go downhill. They always go downhill. Listen to me. Once a church, likewise, that is spiritual King James Bible, I think it's the only Bible an English person needs. Only one that I think that God blesses. I believe that because I think I got scripture. If you doubt that, I got a little booklet I'll give you. But I want to tell you, spiritually, the King James Bible is the key to keeping us on the right road. But physically, which also is spiritually, but physically, the thing that's going to keep us on the right level with God, it's keeping our standards right and our convictions settled and not letting them go down. I'm going to tell you, this come as you are stuff is eating our world alive. Doesn't matter what you dress like. I'm talking about members. Now listen, visitors, come on. I don't care. Well, I should say that. It'll be all right. I'll accept it. I'll tell you what, I want a church that's on fire. I want a church that God can bless. And if that is to happen, there's some things we got to put to work and apply in our lives. Good and godly, scriptural convictions. Good and godly, listen, personal convictions that just the Holy Spirit speaks to you. A.W. Tozer said this, listen very clear. I'm talking about a church that lets down in convictions and standards. That just says we want people to come and we want people to join. And we're not going to be concerned at all about how they dress or how they appear any longer. We're just glad they're here, and I'm glad they are here. Listen to what A.W. Tozer said. We cannot afford to let down our Christian standards, listen, just to hold the entrance of people who want to go to hell and still belong to a church. Amen, Brother Tozer. If we ever let them go, we're going downhill. Now, I don't tell you, I was going to breeze through this and keep on going. And as sweet as the Lord was around here, I was hoping y'all would just kick her up and not even let me preach. But it's your fault you wouldn't testify. Boy, while I'm preaching, I want to give what God said, though. I know it's inconvenient. I know it's not easy. I know sometimes it's not even comfortable. You think I like wearing my uniform this morning? I'd a lot rather just throw on some kind of floppy shirt. But I believe God deserves my best. And I believe He's watching His people in this church. And the future of this church depends. I want to tell you, depends on our convictions and a standing on them. I know preachers and churches who have given them up and just said, oh, God looks at the heart, and that sounds so spiritual, so righteous, but it's so wrong. I could almost throw a rock at a church that I love with all my heart, and it's gone so far down, it is not a resemblance of what it used to be. I know old-fashioned preachers that used to preach with the power of God, and they let the contemporary mess in. They let down on their convictions. One of them, not long ago, rode his Harley down the aisle of the church while they were playing bad to the bone over the speakers. I'm talking about a man who used to preach old-fashioned gospel. Can't happen here. Why not? Why not? We're one pastor, one preacher, one service from that same type of thing if we let down. I want to tell you, I can't help it. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm stuck here. But our God deserves the best we got. We need pure church, pure church house, pure church people. Purity means Christians and character and conduct. It also means convictions, but then I want to say, pure church involves conviction. Verse 43 says, and fear came upon every soul. They saw God move and they heard God speak, and it scared them. I've been in services where honestly I was almost afraid to breathe. Where God was so real. Fear came on them because God was dealing with them. God was speaking and they were listening. Convictions. That's between you and the Lord about how you appear and how you act and how you dress. But conviction is when God speaks to our hearts. God shows us where we're wrong. God shows us how we've failed. John 16:8, Jesus said, when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will reprove the world of sin. It literally means this. When He comes, listen to me, His job is to show us our condition. Listen to me. It literally means He will convince us of our wrong. He will show us where we have erred, and I'm glad He does. I say it so often. I'm so glad God doesn't just let us go on without dealing with us. The Holy Spirit is God's policeman that arrests us. Brother Chester said it. Kathy may say, Wayne, and Chester may sort of settle down. But when God says, Wayne, when the conviction comes, we want to do right, I hope, all the time, but we don't do right all the time. And when we don't, he speaks to us. It's conviction. And that's what got me in the family of God, by the way. Conviction. He showed me my sin. He opened my eyes to my condition. And when I got saved, and when you got saved, if you are saved, he has not stopped. He has not arrested his work of conviction on people. And we need to be very sensitive to his conviction. I do not want to get calloused to the voice of God, to where he can speak to me or speak to us and us not listen. We need to be tender to his touch. Just a whisper should be all we need from heaven to help us to address our lack or our need or our failure. When he shows us something, nobody likes to address our failures or our wrong. No one likes to admit that they're wrong, there's no doubt. But when conviction comes, when he does tell us we're wrong, we need to be quick and ready and tender to where we respond and say, Lord, you're right. Thank you for showing me that. I'm sorry. Help me to correct it. I'm talking about having a good church, a healthy church. And one thing, I see it everywhere. If it was just here, I would be so burdened, I honestly do not know if I could live. Or if it was just with my preaching and nobody else's, I don't know if I could survive. I don't know if I could handle it. But I'm seeing it everywhere, with every preacher and every church, our kind of church. People are so unmovable, so untouchable. It takes a whirlwind. It takes an earthquake to move people anymore. That scares me. That scares me. It is, hey, as far as I know, hey, it's worse outside the Bible Belt than it is here. And it's so bad here, I can't hardly even stand it. And I mean here by our Bible Belt. One characteristic of a Christian should be being tender to their God. And when he speaks to them and says, that's not right. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't be doing that. We ought to be tender to that voice. And ready to say, yes, you're right. And quick to respond. Because, listen, he's trying to help us. He really is trying to help us. David and his family came on yesterday. And two of the grandkids, their children stayed last night. And David, one of the last things he said to them was, we have given Pawpaw permission to whip you. And then he said, you don't want Pawpaw whipping you. And that's right. I wouldn't want Pawpaw to whip me either. But I'm glad I got a God that whips me. I'm glad he loves us that much. I'm glad he loves us so much that he tries to not let us go. And so important, so important, so important that we listen. He's trying to help me. Correction from Pawpaw ain't always right, I'll be honest. Please don't ask my four youngins, because they may tell you, or my grandchildren. But I want to tell you one thing, correction from my Heavenly Father's always right. He ain't never wrong. He's never excessive. He never goes overboard. When he speaks, I deserve it. When he deals with me, I deserve it. And I need to listen. And as a church, We need to be tender to that voice. If you're lost this morning and God speaks to you, you know what that is? That's called conviction. That's God dealing with you about a need in your life. And if you're saved and God speaks to you here or outside the world anywhere, that's the conviction of God, the convicting hand of God. He's trying to help us, and we need to be sensitive and tender. And what we do about that conviction will affect this church, because he's trying to get us right and keep us right. It really does get easier on down the road. It really does. There's some good things ahead. And I know you wish I'd gotten to them this morning. But I have taken some medicine and I'm taking some vitamins. It sure did taste bad. And for some reason, it seems like they got to make them big as a horse and they're hard to swallow. But they helped me. I needed them. And I needed them every day. Oh, I want a church in these last days where God's at. I want us to be excited about coming in on Sunday, Wednesday. Because we just wonder, what in the world is God going to do this time? I talked to somebody yesterday. And they got saved in the early 80s. Here's what they said. I got in on the last of the revival movement in this area. And that's about right. Because when I got saved in 75, I want to tell you, God was moving around here. And we got up saying, wonder what God's going to do tonight. Got up on Sunday morning wondering, what in the world is God going to do at church today? I remember us teenagers on Sunday morning, somebody say, let's come back early and pray. We'd go back on Sunday afternoon and pray for 2 or 3 hours for church service. We'd go out on Green Hill and go out there. And we misused that hill a whole lot years ago. We went out there and, boy, we'd pray and we'd shout and run. And it was normal. It was common. It was ordinary. Nowadays, you have to look real close, and it'll take you a long time to find a little sprinkling of that. But our God's still the same God. Why not this church? Tell me, why not this church? Why couldn't this be the one that God just says, I'm going to just do something special right there? Why not us? I'll tell you what, we'll stop it. Ain't interested. Don't need it. I'm feeling better. Oh, no. Daily requirement. You've heard the message, but I hope more than importantly you've heard the Lord. I say what I did last week. I say to a lost person, please come and get saved. I say to a saved person, that's not right. Will you come and get it right?